Is that what you said? Yes. Like yes, the dinosaurs?
Exactly. When dinosaurs say
I
that?
I don't know. I
shut up.
Thinking.
Anyway. What's up, you beautiful rat bastards? It's Monday, March 6th, and this is episode 3 of The Rat King, the number one gaming podcast coming out of Midwestern America. What's my name again? I'm Scott Petty, and with me as always, anime hunk, Jose Merguia.
Hey, guys.
And not with us today, the Filipino Nino, Justin Stokes. Rest in peace.
So why isn't he here again?
So he is moving in with his wife.
Okay.
They've been together for, how long has he been married? 11 years?
17 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, we're 11, in sync. Yeah. On
it's,
our lives.
It's like we finish each other's finishes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's moving over the course of an entire month.
10 miles away from us or 5 miles? I don't know.
How close?
I don't know. I don't know distance.
He's like 3 miles from you.
Okay. 3 miles from me. What about from you? Closer?
2. Yeah. So he'll be able to come in here regularly a lot, which will be nice. So, yeah.
Our
anyway.
Thoughts go out to Justin.
Rest in peace, baby boy. You won't be forgotten. Except September. What?
September
no. Anyway, what's up, Jose?
Oh, man, I just fucked up my notes.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. You ruined everything.
It's okay. Well, I ruined my part.
Yeah.
I'm sure you have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, I definitely have so much. So the good news is this week we got our Switch from Nintendo. Right. Thank you for sending that to us. And we've spent a lot of time with it, and we've learned many things.
Like what?
They sent us an empty box.
That says, suck it.
Yeah. But it's from Nintendo, so that was pretty cool.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm enjoying that. So this is the first week that we're doing the podcast that I thought, man, I forget we're not a real like outlet.
What do you mean?
As in like everyone's talking about the Switch and everything like that, but we, of course, don't have one.
Well, you don't want one, and I'm broke, so...
And you, at this point, kind of don't want one.
No, I want one still.
Okay.
I just don't want any of the games that are out right now.
Cool.
Essentially.
You know it's always good when the system launches with no games that you want.
Well, I mean, it has Breath of the Wild, but I can get that on the Wii U.
Exactly. So it's launching with zero games that you want.
Essentially, yeah. Because, I mean, the Vita kind of launched with zero games that I wanted, except for that remake of that 2008 game.
Did you buy the Vita at launch?
Yeah.
Did you really?
I bought it like a week after when it went down to like 200.
I bought it like a year in. I got like the very last available OLED one.
Right.
Because they were like, let's put so much into this to make it great. And then it was pretty good, and then no one supported it.
Yeah, no one put games on it.
Yeah.
There's some decent games on there.
Yeah, there's a lot of mobile games I can play on my phone.
Yeah.
But I don't. Anyway, what was your week like? What did you do?
I did a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And oh, yeah, you went to that arcade thing. You kept posting on Instagram about it.
I'm really upset about it because the reason I went there was so I can play Tekken 7.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
I looked for it everywhere, and there was 4 cabinets that were off and says not available at the moment. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, fuck. Well, that must have been Tekken 7. But there's other games. They're fucking great.
I saw you played Luigi's Mansion as an arcade game.
That was... It was just Time Crisis, but with
did you
hose.
Pop up and you suck... It's a vacuum. You pop up and you vacuum ghosts?
Yeah.
Okay.
You suck them up. Well, you hit them with your light from your flashlight, and then you suck them up.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. I've never played Luigi's Mansion.
No, really? No. So Dark Moon for 3DS was actually very good. I played that game, and I never played my 3DS.
Yeah. Well...
The more you know.
Just sell it.
Fuck you.
You think you can make a lot of money.
You think you can suck my dick?
No,
fat
no, no, fuck. Damn.
God, why does this always happen? I'm
because
sorry,
Justin's
guys.
Justin's not here.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to do that. I've already lost my book deal.
But among other games, they had like a lot of Japanese imported games.
Mm-hmm.
Played a lot of rhythm games.
Where were they imported from?
Japan.
Oh, okay.
The good old J-Pan.
I thought they were Japan games imported from like North Korea.
Those
rest in peace, Kim Jong-un or whoever the guy who was just assassinated. He was not in North Korea though. He was in Malaysia
or something.
Shouts out to Kim Jong. Please do not poison me or kill my family.
Wasn't the lady like, oh, I thought it was like some sort of like reality show or something?
Yeah, she said, I thought it was like a TV prank show when I rubbed one half of a chemical on his face while someone else rubbed. No, I think so. Did you hear? I think. So there's like, she used a powerful nerve agent. This is what our gaming podcast is about. A powerful nerve agent that's usually used to wipe out like tons of people at once.
Okay.
And it's like super powerful.
I was honestly thinking you're about to say rats, but I guess it's no. for people, and it's yeah. chemical warfare.
Yeah, exactly. From what I understand, there may have been two people involved, but if not, this is what I heard happened. So when separated, these two chemicals, and I'm waving my hands at you, are basically, they don't hurt anything. It's kind of like when you mix bleach and ammonia, like on their own, unless you drink them, they're fine. Right. Don't drink them, unless you want to, whatever. I'm not going to tell you how to live your life. So she was walking around with her hands, I imagine just in front of her face, trying not to touch anything. And basically she went up behind him and like a little peekaboo, yeah. guess who it is thing, she rubbed the chemicals on his face. And when they interacted, they killed him.
He melted?
He melted into
that
a little pile.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
So I remember my mom actually
did that same thing too.
Well, accidentally made mustard gas in her bathtub.
Oh yeah, man, who hasn't?
Well, because I guess she was like, so for janitorial reasons, you like mix certain things to make the solution. Well, the can was labeled wrong, and uh-huh. she put in I forgot what they were. It was ammonia mm-hmm. and then the bleach, I believe.
Yeah,
and then, yeah. And she was like, yeah, I felt lightheaded.
It was
like,
weird, though, because she then bottled it and then she sold it overseas.
Yeah, that was weird, but I just thought it was some
she's
sort
on
of
a watch list now.
So. I just thought it was part of, like, her cleaning company
Let's
or something.
Say her name. It is Sophia.
George Matthews.
George Matthews.
George Matthews Band. Is that a band?
It's Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews Band. Okay.
This is going to be a good episode. Oh, yeah. Did we already say Justin's not here?
Yeah,
I
Justin's
forgot.
Not here.
I am fucked up.
I mean, he's still really quiet. So
he's here in my heart.
He's always
Yeah,
in
that
my
is
heart.
True. Even when he's here, he's not really here, unless he's just interrupting me.
Or spoiling his fucking
yeah.
game.
Spoiling a game or interrupting me when I'm trying to say goodbye.
But, I mean, other than that, I played the Initial D. Uh-huh. The drifting game.
So did your girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hell, fuck yeah.
But it's
Sorry.
A great game. That's the game that made me want to play racing games.
Yeah.
But then I played racing games. And I'm like, they're not as fun as this.
Yeah,
they're
not.
They're
not. Yeah.
Because they're simulation games and they're slow. But it was fun. I just couldn't understand any of it.
I see Forza sometimes. Forza. And and I'm like, yeah, that looks fun. And then I play it for more than a minute. And I'm like, oh, this is just like I'm driving.
Yeah.
This isn't cool.
I think the best part of that game is customizing your car. Like spending 8 hours on it and then realizing, oh, man.
Like 8 Skyrim. Hours?
Yeah. There are people that do that. Not really. But like on Skyrim, that like people that take like up towards like 2 hours to make a character so they can...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Jerk off to it? Man.
Those nice, dirty-faced Nords.
I'm just smiling at you.
You are. It's really scary. But other than that, they had Theater Rhythm in Final Fantasy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a lot more fun on the arcades.
I imagine.
Because it's weird. It has these two buttons and like two big buttons that you press uh-huh. and then two little like joystick balls,
uh-huh.
like kind of like Centipede, but they're small.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
you use those to flick like the arrows and stuff.
Trackball?
Yeah, like a trackball, yeah. But except they don't like rotate all the way. They just kind of like...
Okay.
Like, kind of like a joystick,
yeah,
but
yeah.
without the stick part.
They have like
it's
a
probably
perimeter.
Inside, but
yeah, but you just putting it upside down. And
but it's a lot more
up.
Fun. And oh man,
but you love rhythm games, period. Though.
Oh yeah, which we'll get into that later. But it is a lot more fun on the arcades. I spent like $70 at the arcade.
Did you really?
Yeah.
And to think you haven't paid your rent in 11
nope.
months.
Nope. I'm still living there too.
Yeah, you're squatting.
But Gunslinger Stratos is the game that I wanted to play, but they never imported here, and it's only available for arcades. It's a really weird game.
Why?
So, do you remember what was that one game made by Platinum that was like the Mad World kind of game?
Odd World?
It was like...
Stranger's
Bayonetta
Wrath?
Was in it, and it was kind of like an open arena kind of game.
No, I don't.
Mad World was the game where you were that black and white guy with the chainsaw, and it was a Wii game.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, I forgot what it was called. But it's a third-person view, and you have two guns. And then you, as the person, your controllers are two guns.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of like revolvers, and they have a joystick. They have joysticks on the sides. So you can move with this one, and you can switch targets with the one on the right. And each character has a different... stage of their guns. So I believe the character that I was using had two, and the guns are magnetic, so if you combine them
the
character's gun changes to the combined
version. That's pretty cool.
And if you put it on top and it attaches as well. That's a different gun too, and it's like a super. It's like an arena kind of.
Does Odyssea mean anything to you?
No,
I'm Googling things, and that's.
Is that the name of like? That's probably the name of the arcade cabinet or something. I don't know.
I Googled Bayonetta Mad World.
Oh no! Fuck! What do you call it? It's a platinum game, and it's like a brawler.
Okay.
And it's like in an arena kind of ish, kind of city. And the guy from Mad World was in it, and the guy from Bayonetta was in it.
The guy from Bayonetta. But,
the Gunslinger Stratos game is super fun. It's like super fast paced and like a real confusion on the senses. It's like you kill one guy and then the camera immediately shifts to the other character that's like halfway across the screen, like across the map and stuff. And
so it blows your mind.
Yeah, it's a fun game though. But other than that, like I actually played not arcade games.
Mm-hmm.
I finished Fire Emblem Fates Birthright, the other version of it.
So you already beat the first one then?
I beat Conquest, yeah.
Okay.
And not much to say about that. It's the same game, just with a different story. I'm playing Vanquish again. I'm almost done with it. I'm on
Vampire
the last
Shooter.
Vampire Shooter, yeah. I'm on the last stage of that game. Breath of Fire 4 is still really awesome.
Every time you say that, I think you're talking about Zelda.
Yeah. Every time I type and like, because I've been looking at walkthroughs for certain puzzles because I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
So every time I put Breath of, it's of the Wild. But
why wouldn't it be?
If you ever want to go back to play Chrono Trigger, don't, because you already played it. But play Breath of Fire. It's really fun.
I feel like there's going to be one point that I do that, but it's going to be right before I put a sword at the end of a treadmill,
mm-hmm.
and then I turn up the speed as fast as I can, and I shove it through my face.
Shit, dude.
That is insane.
I'd rather it go through my chest.
No, man. But how are you going to put your chest in front of it? You'd have to lay on your side, I bet. Yeah. I'm just thinking about trying to make it like go down my throat, but then missing.
Okay.
And then having it stab through the back of my neck, severing my spine and killing me.
And I played
Voez, I think. I've always said it was Voez.
It's a rhythm game that is coming out on the Switch.
Is there a Marvel vs. Capcom song that says the word rhythm in it? Yeah, all I'm thinking is put your heart in the rhythm.
I don't know what that's from.
I don't think it's part of
it. Sounds
of
like from Sonic Racing or something.
Yeah, like Sonic Racist.
What?
Sonic Racist.
Okay.
But speaking of, why is there so much deviant art of Sonic?
I don't know, man.
He's more popular on there than he is in games.
Have you heard of that thing where you can type in your name and then the hedgehog and you'll find your Sonic persona kind of thing?
Really? Have you done this?
No. I think actually I have, but you should try it on yours. I'll try it on mine right now.
Okay.
So I am looking it up.
Okay. I think it's should I be Googling Jose the Hedgehog?
Yeah, because you look at that and I'll look up Scott the Hedgehog.
Nice. Okay. And are we just going with the very first one?
Yep.
Okay. I got my very first Google image. And
God.
Not gonna lie, you look pretty cool.
What we got?
So if we're going with the first one.
Oh, God.
That's you. You're high as hell. That's about right.
That's a nice pants.
That's me. And go to the next one. What's the next one? This is great for a podcast. Hell yeah. Look at you, bitch.
Oh, man.
This is great. We're going to have to post these on Instagram. There's also one of you in a tree.
Do we credit the artist for this?
Hell yeah. Let's find the artist and credit that motherfucker.
But a lot of them are like, they're actually from DeviantArt.
I like the one with the gun. He's not even a hedgehog.
Kill on it.
That's a fire. Yeah, that's me. That's me all the way. Sure. I'm going to get a shirt that says kill and carry around my gun.
Oh, man. This one has a mustache. But anyway.
I think I see why this is so popular. You could go in like a real rabbit hole of Sonic hole, even.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why do I keep turning my phone off? I need my notes on here. But I'm pretty high right now.
So these are all my notes now?
That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Other than, like, I have this whole layout of what's coming, but...
All right, so I'll throw stuff to you. Everyone knows what we're going to talk about. It's going to be the Switch, but guess what? You got to sit through me talking about my shit first.
Let's see, I want to listen to that.
So I played a lot of Doom.
Okay.
Yeah. Now, I played since the last podcast, I played a lot of Doom until Tuesday. By the way, Doom's still great. It's still very fun. It is a little tedious toward the end, but it's still a very fun game. And everyone should buy it. It's like 20 bucks. Come on. Anyway, until Tuesday, when my copy of Breath of the Wild arrived, while I was at work and very mad that I was not at home to play it.
Breath of the Wild?
Shut the fuck up.
Okay, shit.
What game did I get? Horizon Zero Dawn.
You fucking idiot.
Yeah, bitch. This is a good episode.
Anyway, shake it off, shake it off. Okay, so I got Horizon Zero Dawn. That's the game that I meant. Although I do really want to pick up Zelda, I probably will. Just to kind of send my Wii U off before I shoot into the stratosphere with a rocket.
You just bunt it.
Bunt it?
Like I throw it at you. Is it punt? What's punt?
Punt is to kick.
What's bunt?
That means where I basically just hold the stick out and you throw it at it.
Yeah, I was going to pitch it to you and then you just go, whoop.
Bink. Okay.
No.
Let's never bring up sports again.
Well, is punting from a sport?
Yeah, that's football, bro.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, probably other sports that we don't know about. Let's talk about rugby. No, you ain't got no helmets,
there's
guys.
There's an anime about rugby.
There's an anime about everything.
Yeah, it's, apparently it's super good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what's it called?
All
Dos
Out.
Tostadas Mis Niños.
Oh, man.
Yep.
I also watched a lot of anime. I forgot to mention that.
That's a given, though.
Yeah. Well, I can't really talk about it because Justin's not here.
Does Justin watch anime at all?
No, but he watches Gundam. And
Justin,
Gundam.
Do you watch anime?
See.
Okay. He does. So that's good. We Skyped him just for that. No, but I got Horizon Zero Dawn, and I've probably put about maybe 8 hours into it. No, that's not true. I put about 3 hours into
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, it's according to my saves, at least.
Okay, so you said that after an hour, I would really like it.
I think if you look at it now, I feel like you think it's not your type of game.
I don't know what to think about it yet.
Yeah, and I just thought if Jose gave this more than an hour, he'd be like, oh, this actually is. So, like, if I was going to break it down into games that it's like, to me, it's like a mix of Witcher, Assassin's Creed, and Far Cry, all mixed together. The quest structure and the open world, to me, feels very much like Witcher, but you are running around upgrading your stuff, killing things, whatever, kind of like Far Cry.
Right.
And then, of course, you have sort of the movement mechanics of, like, an Assassin's Creed or any kind of modern game, I guess, where they have you able to jump and shit. I don't know. But, yeah, so I've got about 3 hours into it. In my first hour, you basically, like most games, you start as you as a little girl.
Right.
And they do a little tutorial thing with you, so you learn how to crouch and do all this and that, all the basic stuff. And then I was like, oh, of course we're going through this. I didn't really care for that. But then you become an adult, and you get your first mission. And before I did the first mission, which gets to you like 20 to 30 minutes into the game, I did like 3 side quests before I even did the first mission that gets the game going.
Hmm.
And it was great.
Okay.
They all felt like meaningful side quests.
And like, do you unlock like abilities throughout, or do you have them all out?
No, you unlock abilities throughout. So basic, you have 3 trees that are up there. One is basically for fighting, one is for movement, and one is for whatever. I don't even remember.
So probably have you unlocked any worthwhile ones?
Yeah, I mean, it's the basic structure of their tiered ones, okay. You know, so like maybe the first one is like you can do silent assassinations of smaller animals. Eventually that gets to larger animals, or you're able to slow time while you're shooting your arrow so you can kind of aim at their weak points, stuff like that. And you do that as you go along. You also, by killing animals, can upgrade your ammo packs and your whatever. You learn how to craft your fire arrows and shock arrows. You get like this rope caster that you can trip up enemies with and all this stuff. But like I said, I got like 3 hours into it, did a couple of side quests. It is truly a beautiful game. Like roaming around, like just going through like the lush forest and everything. It's kind of cool to see essentially a post-apocalyptic world where everything isn't brown,
right,
like Fallout or something, or in the case of Fallout 4, gray.
Gray and green.
Yeah, so there's no green in Fallout. That's the thing. Yeah, there's like, there is actually one, I think I told you, one of the...
Well, I meant like a gross army green. As I say, yeah, army, it goes towards gray more.
Yeah. But no, like the one mod you can, well, one of the few mods you can get on PS4 for Fallout 4 is to get green grass and trees in there because there's nothing. So in this, you're actually going through the forest and you see... They have sort of, you remember in like Assassin's Creed, you climb a tower and you see all the stuff around. Same with Far Cry. They have that, but it is, without spoiling anything, it's a totally cool experience. And I'll say that it kind of reminded me of Shadow of the Colossus.
Hmm.
So with that in mind, it's a cool way to do it. They're finding, so we kind of talked about this with Dark Souls, where if you look at things enough, you're like, well, this game has done that part, this game's done that part, that whatever, you know, you can break it down into those pieces. But it's really found a way to do all of these things in a totally new way that makes it very fun. Mm-hmm. And like I said, all of the quests, like side quests, no matter how small so far, seem very meaningful in the same way that, for the same reason I like the side quests in Witcher 3.
Right.
Because it doesn't seem like you're just doing it to kill time. There are a couple that have been like, go collect these two things and bring them back. And that's whatever.
So no like fetch quests or anything? Or...
There kind of are, but the story behind it, when you talk to the people, okay, is worth doing it for.
Okay.
So, I mean, I'll come back next week with more on it. Right now, it's a lot of me running through the forests and stuff. And you can, there are campfires everywhere pretty much that you go, and those can be your new quick travel points.
Okay.
But it costs you a quick travel item. So you can craft a quick travel item, and it costs you one whenever, okay, you fast travel.
And do you know the scale of the world?
I don't know in relation to other games, honestly. I want to say it's bigger than, like, the last Far Cry, like Far Cry 4. Hmm. It's very large, but I don't mind traversing it. Like, I haven't quick traveled once. I don't know why I keep saying quick travel. I say fast travel. Anyway, I've only done that once. And I really do enjoy running through it because you find so many interesting things along the way.
And, like, is there enough, like, differences in the environment? Because I remember Far Cry, was it 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
That whole jungle just looked the same to me.
Yeah, it was very similar. And so far, I've been with snow. I've been in more, cool, of a desert area, and I've been in sort of the lush green, okay, forest. The, you know, much as you would expect, the map is kind of broken up into like four major sections that have like different environments. Okay. But each one, it's kind of cool, has a piece of the other inside of it.
And this is all seamless travel, right?
Like, yes.
Okay, that's, yeah, fucking rad.
there's really no sort of, there's no loads, basically, at all. I mean, once you get into the game, you're, right, all good. You can go to all these fires, and you can quick save. And like I said, I'll be going toward my next marker during a side quest, and then all of a sudden I'll find a cave. And then you go down in that cave, and that's where last human civilization lived, which would have been us. So you find stuff down there with the focus that you have, which is a little thing that's connected to it, like a Bluetooth. Yeah, so you can basically pick up like audio codecs and stuff from the past.
Ooh.
Yeah. And
are they like actually interesting?
A lot of them are, yeah. Like, again, some of it's going to be like, if you go back to like BioShock and stuff, some of them were way more interesting than other, right, ones. But it is really cool. Like, I'll be running to finish a quest that I'm really into, and I'll still be like, I have to go in this cave right now and check it out.
Find another audio thing.
Yeah, find another audio thing, or there are like puzzles in there. Like the one I just found yesterday, there's like a suit of armor in there, but I have to get these two sort of like power crystal.
Oh, and there's
type
also
things,
like character customization.
Yes. Awesome. So there's weapon and character customization, and they're all based on like a rarity scale.
And I might ask you this question once you finish it. But I guess they're setting this up to be a trilogy of some, yeah, sort. So I'll probably ask you about it.
I could see that happening. And although I've avoided spoilers, I've seen people say that it wraps up very nicely, but also leaves an opening for the next, okay, thing. One of the things that I haven't, and maybe it'll come as I go forward, a lot of people have complained about the human interaction, as in, you know, it's great to fight these animal,
right,
robot things, whatever you want to call them. And then once you get to the infected ones, it's even crazier. But people have complained about the human interactions, like once you actually have to fight other humans.
Okay.
I haven't minded it too much, but they do seem way less powerful than, okay, the monsters.
Well,
so,
I mean, it makes sense, right?
Yeah, you kind of just plow through them anyway. But it's, and I've had one gun so far.
I didn't know you can get guns.
I won't. You can't, but it's part of something, so I won't go any further than that. But it was definitely interesting. But yeah, you can craft different, on your weapons, you can add different modifiers to them. And then later on you can sort of detach and change those and do whatever as part of the skills you unlock. And then, yeah, you do have different outfits that give you different skills, and you can also add modifiers to those. So that cave has sort of an older suit of armor in it. And then you just have to find out how to unlock that and then get that outfit. And that's interesting. And it changes up how you play the game. And I've gotten to larger creatures, not incredibly large, one incredibly large one, but I've gotten to the larger ones now, and it's very interesting. It's a lot of me sneaking up and stabbing things in the butt, really.
Right.
And sort of hijacking them so I could ride my, like, horse thing or whatever. I forget the name of it.
Is it also like a robot thing?
Yes. Okay. Every there are actual like human, well, not human. There are actual
organic
animals. Yeah, it's a good. Wow. So you'll be running through and you'll see like boars or rabbits or whatever. So like I said, it really is like a very interesting concept all brought together. And the only thing that I can say I have not enjoyed in the entire process, or I don't like as much, is despite how beautiful the game is, including the characters and everything, the mouth movements.
I heard about that. Yeah,
they're very stiff. Mm-hmm. And it seems like whenever you go to someone who's majorly important to the story, it's pretty good. But when you go on like a side quest and you're talking to someone, their mouth's barely open and you're talking to them, and then all of a sudden they go out of sync and they sort of catch up. And
right.
It kind of throws you out of the experience for a second. It is. And especially after playing one of my other favorite games, that granted this was months ago, with Until Dawn, where that whole game was about face tracking.
Yeah, well, they're two totally different games.
They are, but you can still throw that into a game.
Kind of?
You absolutely can. Every game does that now.
Not really. There's certain games that don't do that, but like stuff with Until Dawn, you didn't really have much to do in that game,
yeah.
Other than like, because that was literally all that was the look of the characters and the dialogue.
Yeah, but you had face tracking back in like L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
You have it. Of course, you didn't have it in like Far Cry because it was a first person thing, yeah. And it wasn't
like there were other characters that you saw too.
Yeah, but if you have this huge game with this giant budget that they
did
knew,
it have a giant budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, really. And they knew it was going to be a blockbuster. They knew it was going to destroy. That's why they sent out their stuff a week early and let their embargo lift a week early so that everyone could praise it.
Right.
I'm saying it doesn't ruin the experience by any means, but it's just something that I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah. I just don't think it's really a problem, I guess.
It is for me.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think like you probably wouldn't like any of like anime games or stuff like that because
yeah, but I you understand that's yeah, the yeah. reason. There's translation. Words don't match up like that. What?
No, you're right.
It's just my only point being it definitely doesn't ruin the experience. Overall, it's still an amazing game. It just seems as though they kind of didn't focus on that a ton, which is weird to me.
Well, I'm just saying because like, well, the reason I went is because I'm playing Berseria with the Japanese voiceovers.
Yeah,
and it still doesn't match up.
Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of weird. But I just think it just depends on the budget, like you said, I guess.
Yeah, and
did Until Dawn have a big budget?
I don't think so. I mean, it's still a AAA game. Well, actually, not really. It was Supermassive, and they're not huge.
Honestly, that doesn't sound huge, despite their name.
Yeah, so I'm not too sure about that. But like you were saying, that was, and same with L.A. Noire, those were games that were very focused on facial animations.
Right.
I just know that it seemed like they were like, well, let's just hold off on the facial animations till the last thing. And then they were like, hey, guys, sorry, we're coming out a week early. And they were like, shit, well, it looks great, but it's just not. It's like a B+.
Yeah,
instead
of an
A, you know?
I mean, it's fine. It's just like, I feel like they just put their concentration on all that, I guess.
It's just so weird that when you get into the lore of it and everything, and then you're like, you're believing this bullshit, which is the premise of any game.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
To just believe their dumb bullshit. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, and then you just notice that the guy's face, like, you can tell they had facial animation done because at some point you can even see like the seams of a human's forehead,
like furrowing in their brows and shit.
Well, but then it's mixed into a digital thing,
right?
You know, so you can kind of see that seam on it, like when you used to put your face into video games, you know. But
so is it just the lip syncing, or is it like any other facial features?
There are occasional weird twitches that I feel were caught just by the person doing their thing and not thinking about their face being tracked. So I'll see random eyebrow twitches and stuff. But it doesn't seem like a glitch in the game. It seemed like when the person was saying those lines, their eyebrows twitched.
Right.
So it doesn't seem totally out of place, but it is stuff that, because I notice their mouth not moving, I'm like really paying attention to their faces. And I'm like, that was weird. But overall, a really, really great game so far. And like I said, I'll come back next week with more when I do more stuff. Just haven't had a ton of time, you know? Mm-hmm. I thought about leaving work earlier, taking a day off just to play it for like 10 hours straight and peeing in a coffee can.
What does that have to do with it?
Anyway, let's move on to the news, right?
Yep.
Any more questions about Horizon Zero Dawn?
I'm more over the edge of getting it now, but still not yet.
I think it will be something that you're definitely interested in, for sure.
I'll probably try it out like a year after, like I did with Witcher.
So, let's get down to it. All right. Nintendo.
Switch is out.
I'm glad the Switch is out so we can stop talking about Nintendo.
I was about to tell you, so now that, once we get all this out of the way, can we just start talking about other things now?
Yeah, I think so. My hope is that now when we talk about the Switch, it will be purely positive things about great games coming out for it. Because you and I have both seen that great games are coming out. And I don't necessarily mean like the indie games and stuff like that. I mean, we've seen trailers for other games that are going to come out and they look really good. And I was even telling my girlfriend with Zelda, we'll talk about that later.
Anywho.
Yeah, it came out.
Yeah.
What have you seen as far as people's sort of welcoming of it?
So I've seen a lot of positivity on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also seen people saying things that are wrong with
it's a lot of skeptical positivity.
Yeah,
because we've been burned before.
Yeah, for sure. I see a lot of people saying a lot of connectivity problems with the, was it specifically the left one, right?
The left Joy-Con. And some with the right as well. It's not just the left, but that's been the major thing. And it has not been patched yet.
So I think today they just released a news article saying that Nintendo stated aquariums, if there's an aquarium in the way. Aquariums
or bundles of cables.
Yeah.
So that doesn't make any sense. And
I don't get it either because I don't put my aquarium in front of the TV.
I do, but I've never had that issue.
Yeah, but you like that whole wavy look on your TV.
Yes, I imagine I'm underwater watching TV and I say, this is how a rich person would live.
But they're saying that there's things wrong with it, but they're not bashing it, I guess.
Yeah, because, the thing is, if anyone listens to the last 10 podcasts, it really does seem like I'm bashing it. And the thing is, I think you know in your heart that I do like Nintendo. That's where I came from. But they've been fucking up. And you even shared that article about Reggie Fils-Aimé saying, we're learning from past experiences.
So I took that as, fuck, I need to say something in some way. As in, I'm backed up against the wall.
It was kind of like me in high school when my parents would look at me and be like, he has so much potential, but he's just steadily doing dumb shit and hanging out with a bunch of losers. And I feel like that's what, not that Nintendo is hanging out with a bunch of losers. They have some great developers behind them this time around.
Take it that way until you said it. I was like, oh, right.
I just don't want anyone to be mad at me. No, it's just that we know fully what Nintendo is capable of. And when we don't see them going that route, it is disappointing for me at least.
So we saw this thing where I guess Breath of the Wild runs better on undocked, I guess.
See, I didn't look any further.
I didn't
into
either
that.
As well.
Okay, so let's not even talk about that.
But
then.
No, I was just wondering because I asked about the Wii version. I'm like, or the Wii U version, and I'm like, well, how about that? Would that run good?
I'm assuming it runs fine. They were made in two totally different ecosystems, so I don't imagine there's that sort of same latency between the Switch docked and undocked versus the Wii U. But again, I haven't looked into that, so I don't want to throw that out there as fact.
Like your thoughts of the Wii, fuck the Switch.
What you did there? Yeah, it's like a Freudian thing. Yeah. So hold on, let's get rid of the I kind of wanted to get the bad stuff out of the way first, which is kind of what you were doing. So as we talked about, most people pretty much said it's promising, but it's obvious that this was released too soon. That's the biggest thing I saw. This was maybe not necessarily rushed out, but definitely released too soon.
Right.
And I think that's obvious when you think that people who were, you had these outlets reviewing the Switch, and they were like, hey, we're reviewing it now. We do not have any sort of online ecosystem available to us because that comes in the day one patch, which is finally, it came out obviously on Friday.
Any word on that?
All I know is that it took less than a couple minutes to download. It wasn't anything big, and it did add the eShop. There is no eShop music.
I heard people were mad about that.
But so far, the Switch and the eShop do support keyboards, which I thought was interesting.
Oh, I was following the music part. I thought Casio keyboards.
No,
I was
computer keyboards. Yeah, so they're...
That's weird.
So it's interesting, I guess. I don't know if anything's going to come from that. I also know that... a prominent sort of sticker decal company said, do not put any stickers on your Switch. Along with that, we know that the cartridges taste funny.
Yeah.
Or bad, even. Yeah. Awful.
I think they did it so, kids wouldn't eat them, right?
Yes.
I guess that's smart.
No, it absolutely is smart. They also didn't expect anyone to probably put it in their mouth besides kids.
I mean, but someone has to test realize it. That
a lot I've of eaten multiple micro SD cards in my life, so I ate one in front of you once.
Yeah.
Yep. And you know what? I gained their knowledge, which was a bunch of porn. aside from that, so that we talked about the Joy-Con connectivity issues.
Yeah.
This isn't necessarily a bad thing, but I did think it was a little strange. What? Go ahead.
And, well, keep going. I was going to say it after.
Not all games are going to support the TV mode.
Okay. So I'll say that before we get to that. So with the Joy-Cons not connecting, is that...
Joy-Con.
God damn it!
The Wii's Joy-Con.
The Wii's Joy-Con?
Yeah.
But anyway, like, that's off of the screen, right? Off of the Switch, right? Or is that it's on the Switch?
I think it's on the Switch as well, because I don't think that... I think it still works wirelessly. No, I mean, I guess it does connect. I don't know. I won't lie. But okay. Either way, if you want to play on your TV, then... Unless you want to have the Switch docked and stand right there. Right. Not all games are going to support TV mode, mm-hmm. which I thought was weird. And this came about from someone asking about a particular game that is on, you know, iPhones and iPads and whatever. And one of the games being VOAS mm-hmm. that we talked about, which is not TV supported,
right.
Which I get. If you look at that game, it makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. there probably is a way to play with a controller, but...
This just speaks to the necessity, I think, of being able to use the touchscreen and have it be on screen at the same time.
Of course, yeah, for sure.
So, and the thing is, you couldn't do that with the Wii U either because the screen was so terrible that you wouldn't have been able to accurately play that game.
Yep.
So, being that you can do this now, it's just sort of like, well, I would just get this on my tablet.
So, I played the game and I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But I do run across some problems with it being on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
The screen being too small is a thing because they're tiny little like diamond shaped shapes.
Yeah.
And it gets annoying after a while because there's so many of them. And like if they were bigger.
But let's say you have an iPad mini or even like a 7-inch tablet mm-hmm. like you have here, makes it a lot more capable of doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the screen on the Switch isn't much bigger or smaller than
but
that.
But also what I've noticed on this game on VOAS, it's pay to play.
Mm-hmm.
So
pay for the songs. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you don't get any songs. You get the songs, but they're like, oh, try these songs out. If you like them, you can unlock them with these little birds, which are essentially your keys.
Mm-hmm.
And each key is $1.
Okay.
And or sometimes they'll have a sale or whatever, because I spent money on it. I spent $5 on it.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool. So I'm hoping that the Switch version has all of the songs available that are available on the mobile version.
Yeah.
Button free.
Or you pay for the game and then they have
it. So what I'm hoping it's like a retail release.
You actually lived this thing I saw online yesterday, which was someone talking about how they used to spend like tens of dollars at the arcade mm-hmm. but will not pay anything in app or for an app.
Yeah.
And that's kind of exactly... Well, I spent $70 at the arcade.
I spent $5 to get 10 keys.
Yeah.
Because there was a sale going on, and I bought, 10 songs.
No, but there was a tinge in your voice of, I feel... you're going to judge me because I paid money for it.
No. I bought it because I was like, cool, fuck it. I need... These songs are good. A lot of them are from a different game, too.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for that. But it's just the fact, that they're releasing it on the Switch, I'm like, I don't know if that's going to be, a thing that makes it look bad, because I know people don't like spending money on it, because I know with arcades at least I can keep these songs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying.
I'm just playing it for that one time until I die.
Yeah, there are people who used to spend tens of dollars or quarters, but then something will be like, hey, it's $1 for this app, and they're like, I'm not paying for an app.
So ever since you told me about Pocket uh-huh. or Pocket Cast,
yeah,
I've started buying premium apps
because it's totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure. Even if the ads, even though this one doesn't have a premium app, which I'm a little upset about.
Who?
Yeah, VOAS.
Okay.
It doesn't have a premium app, so ads every now and then. I'm like, but I want a premium app. I'll pay $10 for this game. It's fine.
Yeah, I've always said, well, and plus I want to support Pocket Cast and stuff. They're making good stuff because I don't like the built-in podcast app for iTunes.
Yeah, so I don't like Android.
Yeah, exactly. So it helps. And then here's the killer for me when we talk about the mm-hmm. negatives of the Switch before we move on. Friend codes.
Yeah.
Can't believe it.
So,
I mean, I can believe it.
So
I don't want to.
I've heard people say they're not bad this time. I don't know why. I don't know what's different about this.
I've seen that they're exactly the same.
I've heard that they're not as bad. I've heard that there's something different about them this time.
I think that if you can have a friend code and then also someone can just search your name, mm-hmm. that's fine.
Well, you can do that on the Wii, I think. On the Wii U.
Can you?
Sorry, yeah.
Nah, see, I wouldn't even know.
Because I searched a few of my friends that are no longer my friends anymore because they delete them after 50 days of not being online.
What?
Yeah, I think on the Wii U, like, if you're not active for a certain amount of time, they come off of your friends list.
Oh, maybe.
They're not deleted. They're
I was going to say, I still have my stuff, and I've never played.
No, yeah.
But
so you're gone. You're not on there anymore.
But friends, the friend codes are still ridiculous.
Yeah.
Regardless, like, the fact that they're used, it's...
So, like, why, though? Like, what's the point of the friend code?
Because they don't have a better structure in place.
Is that really what it is?
I think that's all it is. Hmm. And again, we're talking about...
Because the Wii U structure wasn't bad.
As what? What do you mean? Being able to search?
Yeah, like you being able to search people and stuff like that.
Yeah. I just... I don't understand. But anyway, that's the end of that. The negative stuff, unless you have anything else.
Not really. I mean, I still want one, but not yet.
So the positive side of it... Zelda.
Yeah, I heard that was fun.
That's pretty much the only real positive thing I've seen behind the Switch so far. Again, people have said this is a very promising console. Nintendo, they're basically saying Nintendo is constantly reassuring us that they're not going to do us like they've done in the past.
Yeah.
But we have to be skeptical. But so far, at least Zelda is beautiful and great.
I heard it was fun. I want to know more about how fast you can finish the game, because I heard you can finish it like right away.
I'm sure. There were those leaks.
Yeah.
Where they had the game hosted on some Nintendo servers and people were able to download it and spoil a bunch of stuff.
Right.
And there was also someone who was speedrunning it before the game even came out to see if they could finish it. But it's just like, to me, that doesn't matter at all.
Right. Well, I'm not. That doesn't matter for me anyway. But I was just wondering, like, how fast can you beat it? Does that mean there's filler? Does that mean there's certain story things that aren't really part of the story, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point, though, being how different the game is, I don't think there's anything that isn't part of the story.
Right.
I think the whole point of it is to have this open world where every part of it is part of the story,
mm-hmm.
and it ties in, and you'll see either later or sooner how everything sort of kind of curls back in on itself. Mm-hmm. I think it is a totally different experience this time around, and like I said, I'll probably get it for the Wii U, and I haven't bought a game for the Wii U ever.
Or are you going to play it?
Hopefully. See, the thing is, I've got Horizon Zero Dawn. Mm-hmm. I've still got to get through The Witcher 3. And there's another game that I can't think of right now. But I want to get down to it. You know what? I'll make this promise to you. I'll get it when it's $20.
Which is never.
Yeah.
Do you really think they're going to keep doing the same thing that they've been doing and not lowering the prices of their games and stuff?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah. Because that's what they do. It doesn't make any sense that they haven't. The fact that, like I said, Pokemon White and Black still costs like $40.
Well, that's a different case.
Why?
Because it's a smaller case. It's a square instead of a rectangular case, like how the Switch games. I got you, bitch.
I hated that.
But you can't get them new anymore, really.
Uh-huh.
And they're used. And the reason they're more expensive is because you can't really find them in certain places.
But that's artificial. That's all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, no, that because they don't make DS games anymore.
Yeah, but let me use any other game as an example. There you go.
Okay, so Sun and Moon, they're still $40.
Yeah, let's look at...
Well, I thought you were specifically zeroing in on Black and White. I'm like,
no,
well, those are older Pokemon games.
Let's look at
more.
Pikmin 3. Or, yeah, like, it's
<I don't,
laughs> it's still over $40, okay. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous.
Because I know they release after a while, they do release, like, the best collection, and they're $20.
Yeah. Which occasionally happens, but it still takes forever.
Wind Waker took 2 years, right, before it went
$20? Yeah, it was an incredibly long time. And the last time they actually did that reasonably was with the GameCube, because mm-hmm. they were directly competing with other markets.
Yeah.
So they said, oh, well, this is $20 on PS2, we have to make it $20 on GameCube, otherwise people won't buy it. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Anyway, so we haven't played Zelda, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We also haven't played the Switch, because guess what? No one respects us. This is bullshit. But Zelda's great, and I'm happy that it's good. And what I was saying is, I was talking to my girlfriend about, like, if they could do this with all of their first-party IPs, Which they might, you know, with Mario coming out, Super Mario Odyssey, you mean like and open stuff world, like that. Or no, no, I mean, good. Essentially, yeah, yeah. No, I'm saying essentially reinventing what we've known before, because this Zelda, although a lot of the same, is still very different given this open world and given this new quest structure. And if they could do something similar with, you know, their Marios, their Metroids, right, etc., then it would be a totally new thing.
So I think Mario is gonna be good.
It is, but I think it's still going to follow that pattern because that's what people know it as.
Yeah.
And I feel like they also know a way to get around that, because obviously they could have kept Zelda as the same exact structure because it's been that same thing forever. Same with Metroid. And I feel like
Metroid kind of took a turn after a while.
Once it got to GameCube.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
and then it died after Prime.
Yeah.
Or after Metro.
I think Other M was the first bad one.
Other M was not even made by them, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not even sure. But I think if they imagine with the popularity of Doom, how something like Metroid Prime would be now. You know what I mean? They have the capability. Like, Doom, in theory, is a terrible idea to re-release. Like, if you think about it. And even as you're playing it, there's so many, like, old structures to it that you're like, how is this even allowed? But at the same time, it works so perfectly. And it's so good. So I think, but I basically think if they can continue to sort of reinvent the games, then Nintendo can, in theory, reinvent itself.
Right.
And I think as long as they keep, they need to listen to their players, which they haven't done in the past.
I feel like they have, but they're usually like, we hear you,
yeah,
but tell you what, we'll do this instead.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, but okay.
Yeah, I guess I'll take anyway. That. And my thing now, with the only reason I haven't gotten the Switch, because I could have gotten it if I wanted to, it's just that I don't want to openly support the idea of coming out with an unfinished console, you know?
Right.
I don't want to put that out there of like, oh yeah, this company can still make millions of dollars from people who are just like, oh, I'm fine with sort of the mediocrity of not releasing a fully fledged thing immediately. Right. And the fact is, like, I go down to the smallest thing of it doesn't even have Netflix on it.
That's irrelevant. That's stupid.
But it's not, though. Even you brought this up two episodes ago.
But like, you think about it, like, why is it a problem? Like, after that.
But it's a direct one-to-one correlation with the success of something like the Xbox One and the PS4.
But, like, that's the thing that bugs me about certain people.
Or the Vita.
They're trying to find smaller things that to take jabs at it. Mm-hmm. Like, the stuff with Netflix, yeah, I get it. People really wanted that. It's a big demand. Everybody wants Netflix on their consoles or Hulu or whatever. But, like,
My thing is, though, I'm not even bringing it up because I want it. Mm-hmm. I have three other things in my living room
that
can do Netflix. The point is, it speaks to the larger issue of them not giving the basics that are required these days.
But, like, that being, like, we now understand that it's being rushed, right?
That it's been rushed, yes.
Well, it has been rushed now that it's out. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, we get it. But, like, we want it for the games at this point, and the people who bought it were big Nintendo fans, they probably don't give a shit about it being not having Netflix.
They wanted it for the games.
Yeah.
Which it had the smallest opening game library of any console ever.
They wanted those games, though. They wanted Zelda, and they wanted the other games that I can't really fucking name right now.
Well, yeah, because
what games came out for it?
There were like 28 or something like that. We talked about them while back.
I know a lot of them weren't release date games.
No, they were. The ones that we mentioned specifically were. Yeah, and the only thing that really changed, I think, was Snipper Clips that came out. But the thing is, the big thing was Zelda.
Yeah, of course.
And
like, that's a good thing to release. Like, you're going to launch your console with one of your biggest IPs so it can sell.
And it still didn't do amazing.
No, of course not. But I mean, the only people that bought it were, like, Nintendo fans at this point.
Yeah, and that's an issue. Is because I don't... It absolutely
is. I think now, it's fine. Because of the Nintendo fans that bought it. Like, it's fine.
But, again,
like,
the whole...
At this point, like, you're now just kind of comparing it to, like, the Xbox and the PlayStation that you wanted to sell a butt ton. It's not going to anymore.
And that's a major issue.
But it is. I'm not pretending it's not, but it's fine. At this point, it's fine now. And, like, it doesn't matter, really.
But it absolutely does. This is the point where it's coming out that it's going to have the biggest surge now than it ever will in its future.
Okay.
And maybe during holiday season, they'll get somewhere close to it. But you could... Okay, if you look at the 360 or the PS3, you look at the Xbox or the PS2, bigger sales than what the Switch got.
The Switch is never going to reach the PS4 and the Xbox.
Yeah, and we know that.
Yeah, that's... so like, then what's the problem other than like Nintendo just being gone?
That's
and
the
then
problem.
Being a software developer.
Which I know that, like, everyone secretly kind of wants.
Well,
but
I made
not
that
really.
Joke when I was texting you and Justin's, like, so I wonder what Nintendo properties Sony's gonna get.
And the answer would be all of them.
I hope so.
They would lock that down. So. I'm speaking purely from a financial standpoint.
Yeah.
If Nintendo doesn't get
the money.
And I'm not
good with
the
whole financial stuff.
Well, and that's why I understand where you're coming from. As in the Nintendo, I'm not even gonna say fanboys because that's kind of pejorative.
Yeah,
but
they know they are.
But Nintendo fans are going to buy this thing.
Yeah.
But there are people who, and as silly as it may seem, there are, I would guarantee you, given that the PS4 has sold some crazy amount, over 55 million, I know that, it may be way higher, but I guarantee you, in that 55 million, there were like 5 to 10% of those people, millions of people, who bought it as a Blu-ray player and as a Netflix mm-hmm. machine. And they don't even have that option with the Switch.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. Like I said, I don't give a shit about Netflix not being on
But
there.
That's the thing, though. All the people that wanted that already, they already have that. Even with just the name alone, the PlayStation, they're going to buy it.
But you're misunderstanding, though. The whole...
By the way, when you were saying all these numbers, I heard womp, 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 because I'm like, I don't know what that means.
But no, I'm just saying what you're misunderstanding is people who bought the Switch for what it was. There were millions of people who bought the Xbox One and bought the PlayStation for what it wasn't. Which was a Netflix machine, was the ability to Skype.
When they first came out, we're talking about like the PlayStation 4?
We're talking about PS4 and Xbox
One. Okay, I was talking about, I thought you went to like 360.
No,
at the point, Netflix didn't exist really.
Yeah, it wasn't huge then. But I'm talking about like, there were millions who bought the Xbox One for the ability to Skype people. There's probably at least a million people who bought it to play Just Dance.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you get to
That's
Nintendo.
That's why people bought the Wii.
Exactly. Yeah. And like Wii Bowling and stuff like that. Yeah, and Netflix. My point being, they haven't given anyone outside of being a Nintendo fan a reason to buy mm-hmm. it. And that's an issue. If you released a book that was only for one very, very specific demographic in the grand scheme of things, that would be a very poor selling book.
Right.
But if you could reach other markets with that, that's exactly what you're doing.
Like that one book that I was telling you about.
Which one?
Come for Bigfoot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's such a small demographic of people.
But now I know about it.
You do. And how much money have you contributed to that book?
$10.
$85? Of course.
I bought it on Amazon.
Yeah. But
there's a trilogy of that, by the way.
Well, of course. There's Come For Bigfoot, Come On Bigfoot, and Come For Me Daddy, Bigfoot. but that's the whole point is... I'm glad Nintendo fans are buying it, but mm-hmm. guess what? Nintendo fans are a super small majority.
I was
minority,
asked about
rather.
This, about the sales. Do you know how much did it sell?
I will look that up.
Because I looked it up.
I don't think those figures are going to be available, but I'll look
it
up.
That's what I was about to say. Like, isn't it usually like a week or two before they're actually...
Well, like, Microsoft has never released their sales numbers. No, they don't do that. Because they're like, we're not competing like that. That's
well, it's
not
usually
what
they get like the store numbers, don't they?
Kind of, yeah. So people can manufacture their own numbers.
Yeah,
Sony, since they're winning, has been like, this is
exactly how
many we've sold. Yeah.
Well, I want to know, because I'm like, you think they'd release it if the Switch doesn't sell enough? You think they'd release them after they realize that the Switch didn't sell as much?
Release what?
The numbers.
Oh, no, I think they would keep that a secret. So, obviously, the first thing you see is it's sold out worldwide. But, of course, that's also pretty artificial.
Apparently, they had, like, a lot of stocking things. Like, they overstocked a few of the Walmarts and stuff, didn't they? And not overstocked, I guess, since it sold out, but...
So, it said, right now, all I see is between... it looks like... They were expected to sell just under 5 million.
Under 5 million?
On release. So that's not...
That's what they said, Nintendo said, right?
No. That was an independent marketing firm who decided they were going to sell between 3 and 5 million, basically. What are you making a face for?
I'm all gassy as hell. I'm burping, but like inside of my mouth.
Gross.
So I don't make a noise.
You should be filling the air while I'm looking up stuff.
I'm filling it with burps.
Yeah. No one's interested in that.
But, fuck, man. Like, I don't, like I said, at this point, though, I don't fucking care. Like, I want to buy it, but, like, I can't warrant myself to get anything for it yet. Mm-hmm.
So, it looks like, I'm looking up the PS4, and it looks like they, I have no clue. I'm not going to be able to find it.
How long has PS4 been out now? 4 years?
It looks like it was released November 2013 in North America.
4 years.
Yeah, so it's, well, three.
About there. When did the PS3 come out? What month?
PS3?
Four.
November.
Okay, so
I just said that.
I didn't listen to you.
Sorry. Almost 4 years. It's been 3 years and 3 months.
Yeah, it's almost 4 years.
Yeah, I guess I if you're looking at. So as of January 1st, 2017, they had sold 53.4 million units and shipped 57.1 million. So, and I think day one it had sold about 11 million worldwide.
This is.
Huh?
Yeah, we're talking about the Switch or the PS4 now.
PS4, day one, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at.
Okay.
My whole point being, yeah, people are going to buy it, but are enough people going to buy it?
Well, that's the question we always ask when that's ever since the Wii came out.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, well, are enough people going to buy the Wii U now, since we know that
this and now that it's ended, we know that no, not enough people
so
did.
So what about the Switch?
What do you mean?
Like, do you think that'll sell enough?
No.
No?
Nope. I think...
So what would be enough for it?
What would be enough?
Do you mean? Like what would be enough for the Switch to sell, I guess? I don't know.
I don't understand your phrase.
Well, you said like, do you think the Wii will sell enough, right?
Yeah.
And you said no.
Yeah.
So what about the Switch?
So I think the Wii U sold about 18 million units during its entire lifetime.
Okay. And that's what, like 4 years, 3 years?
That was about 4 years, okay. Maybe four and a half. So not a ton. That's one quarter of what Sony did in that same period of time, mm-hmm. and about one third or whatever of what Xbox One has done. I think they've burned a lot of sort of casual Nintendo fans. I think
me,
yeah.
To a point.
The thing is, you respect. Most of the first party games.
Nah.
No?
Not really.
So you didn't think much of like, shit, I can't even think of. So what, Skyward Sword came out, I didn't really care for that too much. Like, but I'm saying let's look at the whole, like you grew up with Mario, mm-hmm. and Zelda and Final Fantasy, which I know isn't Nintendo, but you played it on Nintendo largely. And then you have respect for these franchises, at least. And then, of course, a lot of smaller games you've also grown to like on there.
Right.
But I think a lot of people, sort of like me and maybe like you, who bought the Wii U saying, okay, maybe they've kind of fixed things since the Wii. We saw the Wii as sort of a grandma bowling machine. And then
the regular Wii?
Yeah, the regular Wii.
By accident.
And then we have the Switch, where we're like, okay, maybe they're going to try something new. They showed some interesting stuff with that two-screen thing. And then a lot of people were like, oh, nothing's coming out for this. And I got this game as, you know, again, people probably bought it for Netflix or Hulu, or people bought it because they like Mario. And then they're like, oh, I don't really give a shit about Rayman or, you know, whatever right. It was. I'm not really into the virtual console. It never worked amazing and that kind of thing. And so I think they've burned some people. And I do think I'm one of them, which really sucks because, like, in my heart of hearts, I want all of... God, if it was up to me, like the Xbox One, the PS4, and the Switch would be like vying for my attention like they used to. When I made the decision to get a GameCube, it's because my dad had a PS2, right. You know? So it was like, I want my own thing. I can play on PS2 and GameCube, but they're not doing that for me this time around.
So like the whole thing with me being like, I guess, burned by Nintendo, it's not of the console reasons. Because
mm-hmm.
like, for whatever, the consoles, whatever. I just need something to play the games on.
Yeah.
Some games aren't coming out that I want. For Nintendo, ow, that hurt. Like Metroid,
mm-hmm.
where's that been for the past few years?
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying is if they are able to reinvent that franchise and throw that out
they
there.
They tried.
Yeah. Federation Force really, really fucked them. And I think that they got kind of scared of that IP at that point.
No.
Because people hated the idea of Federation Force. When they announced that and they showed that video, shit. People were like, what the fuck is this?
Come on, man.
Yeah, so I think people were upset by that. So...
Star Fox.
Nintendo is like stomping on eggshells. Yeah. Like they're not even worried about tiptoeing through it anymore. They're like, look, this is what we've become. And I think there just need to be people where like, so, and we'll jump into this next. So I'll go ahead and bring it up.
Okay.
Xbox is now doing the Game Pass, mm-hmm. Xbox Game Pass, which is $10 a month.
So before we go into it, I'd need your answer a question for me, which yes. you're probably gonna with this, what you're gonna say. It looks cool from a distance, but I don't really know what it is, kind of.
What's that?
The Game Pass.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I didn't read the article. I saw the comments first things first, and it was, are they doing that same thing that Nintendo's doing with the game monthly games or whatever?
Yeah. So I'll go into that a little bit. Since you did interrupt me, which is fine, I did forget why I brought it up. So
fuck.
So I forgot how I was going to tie it in with the. So this is what I was getting at. So the Game Pass, which I think is a cool idea, and I'll get into more in a second. So with something like the Game Pass, I think that definitely adds a lot more value to the Xbox One. And if at some point I feel the Xbox One offers more value than my PS4 does, I will undoubtedly get an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And that's all I want out of the Switch as well, is if it demonstrates that it has some sort of value, that of course maybe it's not going to reach the PS4 or Xbox One, and definitely not PC or something. But if it can demonstrate its value, which I don't feel like the Wii did, and I don't feel like the Wii U has, or did now that that's dead, rest in peace. But... yeah, I don't. I need the Switch to offer some value, and with that, we'll go into the Game Pass. So it's coming out in spring. A couple of people are getting it now as sort of a beta thing, and it's not a streaming service like PlayStation Now, because mm-hmm. PlayStation Now is not getting a ton of subscribers because it's like $45 for a month of play or whatever.
Yeah, that's shitty. But you can also play it unlimited, right? If you get like the year subscription, which is like $100 bajillion.
Yeah, I don't know. It's either way, it's not
it's also internet based.
Yeah, so it's not incredibly it's not incredibly realistic for a lot of people.
Right.
So the Xbox One Game Pass isn't a streaming service. But it's more like a game download service, mm-hmm. like EA Access. So if you pay $10 monthly, you'll be able to download games directly to your system and play them as if you purchase them digitally.
Okay.
They'll be able to purchase the games. Anyone who you're like, oh, this month I want to play this game. And you can download multiple games and play multiple games at once. And you will also be able to get 20% off of those games if you decide you want to buy them and keep them permanently. They will have a sort of rotating library of over 100 games, kind of in the way that Netflix each month, they're like, these are going away, but these are coming in, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. But from my understanding of it, you will have possession of those games until they leave that service. So not necessarily just for the month or anything like that.
So you're saying that like I'm paying $10 a month. I downloaded the game that was available there. Mm-hmm. And I only have that game until they rotate it.
Until they decide, because it's not like each month they're going to have a different 100 games.
Yeah, I got you.
They're
but
saying,
I'm the example.
Yeah, so they're saying like, yeah, until they decide, okay, we're taking this off in order to add, we're taking these 10 games off to add these 10 games, and that's one of them that you have. So at this point, if you want to, you can buy that at a 10% discount through Xbox, which is genius on their part, okay. I think. Or you just won't have it anymore. Okay. But I think most people would gladly use this to download, you know, between 1 and 5 games a month and beat those in that month.
Right.
especially as opposed to PlayStation.
I mean, I would hope so.
Yeah, with PlayStation Now, it was literally like $10 for 2 hours of play or something like that, at least when it first came out. And then I decided, not for me.
No.
And then Microsoft also stated, I don't know who exactly said this from Microsoft, but it's a quote. And it was to clarify the difference between games with gold and the Xbox Game Pass. So, and this is something I think is really cool in this as well. So they said, games with gold and Xbox Game Pass are two different service offerings, shit, with unique benefits. Games with gold is an added benefit specific to Xbox Live Gold members that rewards players with 2 to 4 free games each month to enjoy. Xbox Game Pass is a subscription-based service that gives you unlimited access to over 100 Xbox One and Xbox 360 backwards-compatible games for Xbox One for $9.99 per month. Xbox Live Gold is not required for Xbox Game Pass. However, Xbox Live Gold is required for multiplayer titles that are part of the Xbox Game Pass catalog. I think that's amazing.
So, that sounds good.
Yeah.
But what about, like, so they said they had Xbox 360 games too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's their pricing on that?
What do you mean?
So what's going to be the price for those Xbox 360 digital games?
If you, I'm assuming they're all, like, $20.
Really?
I would think so. Like, but you're talking about without the discount?
Yeah, without the discount. And then, like, with the discount, it'd be, like, what? You said 10%.
20%. Okay, so yeah. They're probably listing a lot of them at $20, maybe $15, okay. Which means you'll probably get them at $12 to $16 through that, which is still, I think, pretty reasonable to have a digital copy forever. But my big thing in there, I think, though, is that you don't have to have Xbox Live gold.
Yeah, just for the multiplayer stuff, obviously.
But. Yeah, so if you want to go to this service, say you're someone like yourself who hasn't had gold in a long time.
Speaking of that, guess what I got?
PS Plus?
Yeah, I got
Hell
PS
yes.
Plus.
So say you're someone who hasn't had Xbox Gold in a long time. If you're like, I don't really play multiplayer games, you can pay $10 a month and have unlimited access to over 100 right. games. I think that's pretty amazing.
That's pretty cool.
And I do think that adds value to the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And you still get trophies whenever the game, even if the game is no longer available through the service, you still keep all your saves. So, of course, you can either buy it or, you know, through there. When you have it, you have it.
What if I can find the game cheaper physically?
Then do it.
So, like, does that change anything?
I don't think so, because you're saying, for at least from their description of it, if I have enough space on my hard drive, I can download 10 games in a month and play through them.
Do you still have to install the games, though?
Yeah, it's just really? As if you were downloading them.
Okay, that's kind of sucks, but...
Well, it's...
Like that you have to, like, your Xbox 360 games with the disc, and then you still have to install them?
Oh, no,
That's what I was asking. Like, do you still have to install the disc of a 360 game
on an
Xbox One to play?
I think so, with the emulation.
That kind of sucks, and I'd rather just get it digitally.
Yeah, and that's what this is for you, then.
I don't think I would, but yeah.
I absolutely would. If I got an Xbox One, I would pay for that service. You're talking about $10 a month, extremely reasonable. Especially,
I mean, it's reasonable, yeah, but I mean, like, I don't think it's for me, I guess.
Well, yeah, you don't even have an Xbox One, and you didn't really care a ton for the 360. Yeah. But I'm saying this is a huge added value. So if you look at just for what they are, you look at now the Xbox One has backwards compatibility, mm-hmm. for the most part, at least with all the major games, and this service, that's pretty significant.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about when I talk about adding value to
games.
A console. And they do have games. Like, they're not games that you care about, but they don't
From
have...
what I've heard, a lot of people don't really like the games on there.
It's that they are looking for a new identity, I think, Microsoft. Because they got known as the shooter console with 360, mm-hmm. and they kind of want to jump out of that. And then you get something like Scalebound that gets canceled. You have a couple other games that get canceled.
They,
and you have people.
I think they talked about that too, by the way.
Yeah, they
fucking liars.
They talked a little bit about the Scorpio as well, but I didn't bring it up because they didn't release a ton of information, obviously. And then my whole point is that, let's say they don't have everything that people want right now, right. similar to the Switch. Or similar to Nintendo, period.
Well, because I've heard, like, a lot of the games that people really want from them are being delayed a lot.
Yeah, and I think people have to understand that's
Crackdown,
part of it.
Crackdown, right? People
Crackdown
really want
3.
Crackdown, yeah.
Yeah, and they'll get it, and they'll love it, I'm sure.
I hope so.
But what my point is that you have this game company that is in second place currently compared to the PS4 in a lot of ways, specifically with just numbers, I'm talking, a number of units shipped and sold. But they are still, even at a point where they're making a good amount of money, releasing services that are valuable to the players.
So you think this will really help them?
I think it will. I think maybe not in 2017, but I think by 2018, when they really show the value of, like,
when they
show that library of games that are available, and plus you have backwards compatibility, like, for a lot of people, I think, like, for me, I would buy an Xbox One to play my Xbox 360 games, so.
So, like, for the people, I guess probably the normal people, when they buy a new console, they usually sell their old one.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because the Xbox One didn't have backwards compatibility at the start.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, this is not going to have backwards compatibility. People sold all their games. So now I think this would probably be a better opportunity for them now.
Yeah, and I feel like, as a quote-unquote normal person, I feel like I stopped selling my old consoles when backwards compatibility went to the wayside. Mm-hmm. I do think that it's no, I wouldn't still, but like I think that I wish... You have to think, if Sony, which you prefer, that's your preferred game console, mm-hmm. the PS4, and I'm actually extremely happy with my experience with them and their service and their free games and all of that. Not trying to be like a shill for them or anything.
Send the stuff.
Yeah, please. I'll wear a hat. Send me a God of War 2 hat. But imagine if Sony was in second place. Then they'd have the impetus to start with backwards compatibility, yeah. to start with maybe a $10 a month streaming service. Like, for someone like you who is into whatever games you're into.
Yeah, they're mostly on the PS3, too.
Exactly. So, but I'm saying, imagine if for $10 a month, you got access to PS1, PS2, PS3, and some PS4 titles for $10 a month, even if you didn't have to have PS Plus, which you didn't for about a year mm-hmm. or whatever it's been. That's a pretty good deal. But the problem is, since they're so far ahead, they're not going for that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you, if everything's graded on a curve and you're getting a 100%, doesn't matter.
Right,
you know what I mean? So that's why I'm glad that there's someone like Microsoft who says, look, we know we're in second, so we're adding these values. And then there's someone like Nintendo and says, look, we know we're just short behind the Nokia N-Gage, but we're going to keep doing things exactly the same. And that's what I want them to do, is like, it's a step in the right direction with their like right. monthly game rental thing. I do think that's a little shabby compared to what the PS4 and Xbox offer.
Oh, we're talking about the Switch now.
Yes. So with their thing of being like, you have a game for a month, yeah. and guess what? It could just be Excitebike, which I've always used as my example.
Right.
Which you're like, oh, that's fun. But guess what? I played that inside of Animal Crossing on the GameCube. You know what I mean? And they're taking a step in the right direction, but it's not nearly what it needs to be.
Right.
And I want Nintendo to be like, guess what? Virtual console support for all of our past systems. So GameCube, Wii U, N64, Super Nintendo, Famicom,
right.
all that stuff. And they could do that because guess what? You know who else has done that? Pirateers. Yeah. Pirates. I don't know why I said pirateers. Pirates all over the internet. Pirateers all over the internet have already taken their games and made them available.
Mm-hmm.
And they could do that. And they haven't. They haven't offered that service. And I don't understand.
I don't know.
And it's something they could do, make a significant amount of money. Hey, guys, I don't have a degree in anything. Nintendo, hire me to do some marketing or come up with some ideas for you. And send me a God of War 2 hat, Nintendo. I'm sure you got some lying around. Someone liked them at some point.
Well, they did publish that one game.
Sure.
God of War 2.
Yeah. That's good of them. It's good on them. And then along with our making money thing is Twitch's new thing of selling games.
Yeah.
So Amazon owns Twitch. Mm-hmm. They bought them not too long ago. And that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
They also bought.
I think it's kind of convenient, too, since, you know, a lot of people buy them on Amazon anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's being sold through Amazon, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So basically, they're offering a partner program. And I saw this from Mike Fahey at Kotaku. He wrote, partnered streamers who opt into the program and play games from Twitch publishing partners, which means there will be specific titles, not going to be all titles, will earn 5% of the revenue generated from their stream. Feeds from streamers who have not opted into the sales program will still feature a buy now button. So even if you don't want to do it, you're still going to have a right. buy now. Whatever, that's their...
So like, even if I'm streaming, I'm like, man, this game's dog shit. And
yeah, it'll still have a buy now. But if you don't opt in, you will receive no benefit.
Of course, yeah.
So basically, it's very specific. So they're going to have to be, they said you have to be a partnered streamer, which means you have to have a decent enough following. And then it has to be partnered developers, which will have to be teamed up with right. Amazon. And then you'll receive 5% of the revenue from people who click the link from your page.
Cool.
And then they also said, sweetening the pot for viewers, purchases made through Twitch over $4.99 will earn the buyer a Twitch crate filled with digital rewards like special icons and the like. So, I don't know. You just get extra stuff with it.
Okay, I never knew the whole Twitch culture, but I guess icons are a thing
yeah.
that people like.
People like their icons, and they like yelling at boob ladies.
What?
I think they call them booby streamers.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah. Hey, anybody who's a booby streamer, no, you guys listen up. Keep doing you. I don't give a shit. Do what you want to do. Make that money.
Oh, me?
No.
I'll keep making my money.
I'm talking to booby streamers. Like, okay. Everyone's mad. Like, oh, this girl, well,
as long as they get views, right?
No, I'm just saying, do it for you. Do what makes you happy. I don't give a shit. You're not hurting anybody.
Great time making that money.
You're not hurting anybody. But the point is, again, Amazon, they're being smart with this. Although, I got to say, Amazon bought Comixology, which I was a huge, huge fan of, being that I was moving a lot and couldn't take, I was moving from state mm-hmm. to state and didn't want to take huge boxes of comic books with me. And then they bought it and changed some stuff, and I have not bought comic books through Comixology in over a year now.
Bomber. You just been pirating them, right?
No, I do not. No, because what it used to do is used to be able to make the purchases through the app, and then they removed that ability. So I'd get a notification that's like, hey, guess what? You can get the entire Chew library for like $20. And I'd be like, got it. I'm getting that right now because I can go in the app and do it. And then they said, well, it kind of sucks because Apple takes a cut, which means the creators get less of a cut. So I got it, but it just made it so much less convenient that I was like, I'll just go to a comic book store.
Right.
I was like, I like having the physical copy. It was just moving a lot. Anyway, companies are trying to make money. Take a hint, Nintendo. Thank you. All right. And then moving on from those things, there's some games coming out. You should talk more this episode because I haven't talked.
I've talked a decent amount.
Oh, not in the past 15 minutes.
When we got to that point where you yelled at me.
When did I yell at you?
In the middle of it. It's fine.
We're going to talk about this.
You're very yelly. But games? I don't know. Fuck, dude. I lost my fucking notes, dude.
Oh, yeah. You don't have anything.
No. I mean, I have all those fucking indie games, but...
And mine just says Jose's Games.
Yeah. Which well, we do. You were going to talk about Shadow of War.
Yeah. So Middle Earth Shadow of War. They came out with the announcement trailer. Comes out August 22nd. And it looks like this came out because it was leaked like 2 days prior.
Yeah.
And so they were like, well, let's just go ahead and get on top of it. People seem excited. But essentially, there might be dragons.
Okay. Which I mean, interesting. It's a, what, a Middle Earth game?
Yeah. So the description for the
Was there games? Was there dragons? And then, yes, there's Smough.
Smough.
Smough is the guy from Dark Souls. My bad.
Yeah, his name is Smough.
Ornstein.
But the trailer notes said, in Middle Earth, Shadow of War... I'm going to read everything. In Middle Earth, Shadow of War, players wield a new ring of power and confront the deadliest enemies, including Sauron and his Nazgul, in a monumental battle for Middle Earth. The open world RPG is brought to life through the expansion of the award-winning Nemesis system. The robust personalization from the first game is now applied to the entire world, where the environments and characters are all shaped by player actions and decisions, creating a personal world unique to every gameplay experience. Which I'm very curious about that. Are you familiar with the Nemesis system?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that great. It was a cool concept, but it didn't really work extremely well. It didn't really bring it. So the coolest thing when I was playing Middle Earth, the first one, was that, like, let's say you hurt one of your nemesis.
Right.
And then
they'll remember it.
They remember it, and they usually have scars or whatever. So if you, like, slice their face open and then they ran off and you run into later, they'll have a scar or bandages or whatever. If you burn them, they'll have, like, burns on their body. And that was really cool. And there was even someone recently who played through the entire game without getting one nemesis and then got to the end where you fight, like, the head nemesis and they just got a default guy. But... Right. I'm curious to see what they mean exactly by a completely unique.
Is it the same character?
Yes, I think okay. So. I do believe so. It looked like him at least.
So now I know he doesn't die at the end of the first one.
He does. Well,
I know what happens. By
do
the
you?
Way. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he doesn't die at the end of the first one. That is the true statement. Yeah, you're right about that. but I mean, that's sort of it. It's probably going to be good. It was a. First one was good.
So I remember the games, by the way.
Okay, tell me.
So Justin's not here, so I can't really talk about much from this.
Okay.
Monster Hunter XX.
I thought it was three X's. Is it just 20? I think you may have sent well, it no, with three X's.
Because I think the one previous to that was Monster Hunter X.
So they skipped to the other nine. They went from 10
well,
to
no,
20.
Well, no, because here in America, it's Generations.
Oh.
So over there, it's Monster Hunter X, or... Not X. They don't say X out there. They say Cross.
Yeah.
So it's Monster Hunter Cross out there. So now it's Monster Hunter Cross.
And sometimes an X is a key.
Cross.
It's called a key as mm-hmm. well.
It
that
is.
Blows my mind. what was Justin playing Monster Hunter on? Was it 360? Or?
The Wii and
he
also
was
the
on
Wii
the Wii.
U.
Yeah, he was playing it on the Wii. I think
he fucking loved that.
He
game.
He loved that game, and I thought it looked like trash.
I don't know. It was the Wii game? Yeah.
Yeah.
But they released that same game on the Wii U, and then he played it on the Wii U too.
Wow, it's hard to believe the Wii came out in '97.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're living through that.
Then there's the Turok 2, the remaster, which mm-hmm. it's literally what it's just upscaled it and then like added some textures to it.
Textures like what?
What?
Tell me about the textures.
They look good. It just looks like fuck. Have you ever played shit? Like what's an old PC game?
Doom.
Not Doom, not
Grim
that
Fandango.
No, that's a bad
Day of the Tentacle.
No,
Secret of Monkey
Day of the
Island.
Tentacle,
I'm just naming point and click adventures.
Never mind. Not point and click adventures. Stuff like
Myst.
It, like Quake.
Quake.
So it kind of looks like that, just like boop. blown up and like good. It looks good. Yeah. It looks smooth and stuff. And I like Turok. I'm bad at shooters, and I like this one just because of the weapons that you get. They're really fun.
You used to play Gears of War with us, and I don't think you were bad, were you?
Bad at Gears of War? Yeah. No, third-person shooters are different.
Are they?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because like I'm playing Vanquish. I'm playing it on hard.
Yeah.
And it's fucking hard as hell, but I'm good at it. But I don't know. Gears of War was different. It was a lot slower.
Yeah, I think that was the thing, is you look at that versus a Titanfall or a modern Call of Duty game, yeah. And they are much more twitchy and stuff.
Because the whole thing with Gears of War was take cover and wait stop for and someone pop. To pop their head out. Yeah,
yeah, they coined that term, which I enjoyed, because that was like the first shooter that really got me in. Anyway, continuing.
But also, like Turok was also very slow in certain times, because it was an N64 game, and you used your... use the analog stick to... Was that to move or... Yeah, right? Yeah. You moved with the analog stick and then you aimed with the
C stick?
The C buttons.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, man, this is... Shooter games cannot get any better than this.
And they never did.
No, they didn't. But I don't know. Am I going to get it? I'm probably going to buy it and then not play it.
Yeah, on your Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a laptop that should run it. But
I'm sure it runs on either of them just fine.
It's I don't know. Like, do you remember that weapon, the Cerebral Bore?
No, I never played Turok.
So it's this ball, and it hunts the enemy down, and it like goes into their skull. And
so it's like the blue shell.
Kind of, yeah, but very violent.
Yeah.
But the weapons that they had were fucking crazy. They had one that it shot landmines, and then they blew up, and then their legs would fall off.
Ooh.
And then you just kill them, or they just die.
Yeah, because their legs are gone. What'd you do?
I spit on the mic.
Oh, boy.
But there's that, and...
You mean you're wrapped, right?
I wrapped?
Yeah.
Yeah. Voice is coming out March 3rd.
Uh-huh.
Which it... Yeah, already...
Wait, yeah. Yeah, that happened 3 days ago.
Yeah.
It came out, and it's great, right? You had fun with it?
I think they said March 3rd.
Yeah,
now I might be lying. I might be thinking it's March 3rd for America and March 6th.
Here's the thing, though. If Nintendo hears this, they're going to be like, shit, we got to retcon it, say it came out on the 3rd. Yeah. We don't want them to be wrong.
Yeah.
They're like, this is the guy we like on the podcast.
They'll send me a Switch.
They'll send you a God of War 2 hat.
Dude, I hope so.
Yeah.
Listeners, send me a God of War 2 hat.
Anybody out there that's got access to God of War 2 merchandise, I'd like a keychain.
Oh, man, like one of the E3 ones that they had one time?
Yeah.
I think, did they?
That's all
the games I have, really.
Okay. I mean, that was kind of it. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to do the two-question segment with only us two.
I'll be fine.
So I did a simple one. You still getting the Switch?
Yeah.
Why?
Games.
Awesome.
Eventually.
Yeah. How long do you think it'll be? And if you're being realistic... If you're being optimistic, let's say optimistic first. How long? 6 months?
6 months.
If you're being realistic?
Next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the thing that kind of sucks about it. Like, I know I like pleaded its case a little.
Yeah.
But I am kind of disappointed about the Switch. And also the bad part about me saying this as well, I'm not looking forward to the first party things either.
Yeah. So here's earlier when you were saying I was yelling and stuff, the thing, I think we were speaking and working on two different planes.
Right.
Where you were talking about fandom, I was talking about money. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we live in a world where money is much more important.
More important than fandom. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. And I want people to know, I want to buy the Switch. It's, I think someone pointed out on another podcast, it's very redundant to say I want to like something, because no one wants to dislike something. If you openly want to dislike the Switch, you're just being an asshole. But I really do want it to give me a reason to want to get that console. I got the Wii U because I wanted to replay Wind Waker, and that was it, and I never played another title on that.
I don't know if you're gonna find a reason to like the Switch,
and who knows, like if it's,
because I'm having a tough time trying to plead its case.
Yeah, if it's a year and a half from now, I'm totally fine with that. Yeah. I always the deal I always make is there need to be enough games that I want that are at or greater than the cost of the console. So since this is $300 and the games are $60, I need to find at least 5 games.
And I think it kind of looks cool, like the Switch and the whole Joy-Con thing.
It's an interesting concept, but we've also seen that with... I mean, it's kind of as if you really want to break it down, they said, okay, no one really cared for the Wii enough. Granted, it sold a ton at first because of Wii Sports and stuff. And the Wii U was our biggest failure to date.
Mm-hmm.
What if we put them together? And that's what they did. They took the game. They were like, "What if we had the gamepad?" And then they glued the nunchucks to the gamepad. And they were like, "And then you put it in and out, and then you're good." It's like in concept, it could be very cool. But guess what? I'm over motion controls. I get annoyed when a PS4 thing is like, "Hey, use the thing, the light on the back." I'm like, "No, how about we don't do that?" I was annoyed playing like Uncharted on the Vita when it would be like swipe up on the screen to break through the brush. And I'm like, guess what? I don't want to touch my screen, bro. It's so clean. I don't want to do that.
Screen protector.
Yeah, but even but then, you're smearing it. You know what I mean? I don't want to have a smear in the middle of my screen. Just let me live my life.
That was so weird that they did that, though. But I mean, they had to test it out somewhere.
But yeah, I think, do I see a future where I have the Switch? I do. I see it once the price goes down, which I think will be in a matter of 9 to 12 months.
That'd be cool.
I think it will drop down to, I think they will be like, okay, we have a $200 version with no internal storage, and we have a $250 version with 32 gigs.
So
kind of like they did with the Wii U.
With me getting it, it's now based more on other developers than Nintendo. Just because, Zelda, I'm going to get that on the Wii U. Mario, I'm not really excited for Mario.
Yeah. Because I think it's because you know how it's going to play.
Yeah, and I'm also kind of out Mario'd out.
Are you?
Yeah, because I just, I played Galaxy not too long ago.
Which is a great game.
It's fun. I feel like I should have started with 2, but because I heard that one was better.
I liked Super Mario Sunshine quite a bit.
I love Sunshine.
And that got a lot of hate.
I honestly thought that was going to get an HD remake.
I'm very surprised and actually disappointed. That is a title that I would have bought.
That would look fucking great.
Yeah. And, you know, let's hope that... So right now, they don't have a virtual console in place at all for the Switch.
Right.
Let's hope they do add that GameCube support. And let's hope they have those games not for $30.
I think they're probably going to be 20, which I still think is too much.
I do as well.
Considering, like, Sunshine is still kind of expensive. It's more than... Yeah. $20
because it's so when I was talking about the subscription service Xbox Game Pass, if they're like, this is a 360 game, it's $20, you know, like that still seems kind of high, I know, but that's the last generation,
right?
You know what I mean?
Like, even if they said, like, hey, $15 and you can play all of these games, that'd be cool because their subscription service is only $25,
yeah,
and then eventually it would add up to what PlayStation Plus is.
See, and now you're thinking like what I'm
I got you. And I completely understand where you're coming from. It's just like when we get to numbers, it kind of goes over my head.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I don't want to buy a $20 GameCube game. Fuck.
Yeah, I know, man. It's so unprofessional.
I thought mine was down. My phone's down.
Yeah, it is. It's true. You thought that if you couldn't see it, it wouldn't make noise.
Yeah.
That's why you usually throw it out of the room.
But,
Oh shit, I forgot what I was going to... Oh, here's the thing though. So with the 360 being the last generation from the Xbox One, and same with the PS3 to PS4, like in my head, if you told me it went from GameCube to Switch, I'd be like, yeah, I agree. That's exactly what happened. And I wouldn't think anything of it because that's exactly what it felt like. Because the Wii and then the Wii U were such incremental technological steps.
And I was honestly surprised that they said Wii U.
Yeah, they knew from the beginning. I remember when they were on Jimmy Fallon and he was like, so this is a screen you get for the Wii. And they were like, no, whole new thing. And I worked at Best Buy during that time and had to tell people, no.
The exact same thing.
I was like, it's a whole different thing. They were like, well, if I get a Wii, can I play Wii U games on it? I'm like, no. And they were like, if I get a Wii U, can I play Wii games on it? I was like, yes, but you have to have the controllers as well.
Right.
So if you don't have it, then you also need this and that. And then all of a sudden, what do you know? This $250 console was all of a sudden $400.
Right.
For, you know, two nunchucks for both kids or whatever. And it adds up. Boy, oh boy. Hey, I want to love it. I think there will be a point where I'm like, I think I might, but we'll see. It's to be seen.
The games that are coming out for it right now, like the whole Fire Emblem stuff, I'm kind of out Fire Emblem too because I just binged two of them.
It's one of those things where, you know, like PS4 and to a lesser extent Xbox One, they've gotten these third-party developers on Force, and that's what people are going toward.
If they stick, like if they actually, like the developers get helped out with like the Switch working, I'm
just dumb. Like the whole environment of the,
like,
Switch.
If they get used to it and they actually make the games for the Switch and they keep a good the Nintendo keeps a good relationship with those developers, I think it'd be good.
Of course. But yeah
I don't know, it's because I know people have had, like how Reggie said in his interview, it was like, oh yeah, the developers couldn't find a way to work with the tablet,
yeah,
so maybe this might be better. But
it might. And the unfortunate thing again is it's all going to come down to money.
Yeah.
Like we talked about how we wanted Stardew Valley on the Vita, which it is coming to the Switch.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the first console with multiplayer as well, which is very interesting. And I think that will bring in a decent amount of people, not a ton.
I wonder if... No, it won't. Like the whole touchscreen thing, because that's going to work on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But... how we wanted that to come to the Vita, there's no money there for it.
Yeah, that'd be my ideal version if I can use the touchscreen on it, on the Switch.
But yeah. I think that they need this third-party support. They need to make it worth their while. And I think the problem is Nintendo is going to have to say, look, we're going to have to bang out money for these third-party developers and maybe not make that money back just to cultivate this relationship, you know? But the thing is, they hate losing money.
Yeah, but then why?
Yeah, they're selling this at a profit when I won't speak for everybody, but I think a lot of people feel that the Switch is overpriced, especially not coming with the charging dock and stuff like that for the nunchucks.
I thought that was kind of dumb.
I do too. So the fact is, they could have had this as a loss leader. If this would have come out, and I know this is a little extreme, but if this would have come out at $200, I think a lot of people would have been like, fuck it, it's $200.
I think $250 would have been good.
But no, but I'm saying is like, they could have said, let's say they make, $50 off of each Switch sold. If they dropped it to $200 to say, we lose $50 on each Switch, but just being that cheap, comparatively... we can knock stuff out, but God, there's an Xbox One right now that's $200.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I saw sales that were like $180, right?
Yeah, and that's
tempted to, but then I was like, well, I don't need it, and I need to fix my PlayStation. So
yeah, that's probably important.
I'll do it Friday.
That's why all of the stuff that I think back to is I have to go with money because I know that's how they work.
Right, right.
That's why they canceled Scalebound. Even though they lost so much money just in that process, but they knew they weren't going to make it back with the product.
It wasn't just that. I know they kept butting heads with the developer.
Yeah, but they had also seen where they had gotten to in that amount of time and said, anytime we release this, we're going to lose money.
I've heard some things that apparently it wasn't even working well on the Scorpion.
Yeah,
because it had performance.
Scorpio.
Scorpio, my bad. And the Scorpio performed.
It was weird when they taped it to a Scorpion.
Yeah. It's just...
yeah. It doesn't
but, even... have you ever had a Scorpion, Scott?
I've been
they
near
make noises.
One. I don't think
they whistle.
Oh yeah, you remember that? Hey, Brad Neely, shout out to you. That Brad Neely comic where he's putting the jar.
Yeah.
That's good. That's a funny one. Ooh, a snake. That's you. Anyway,
fuck.
Sorry,
what was I saying?
It wasn't running well on the Xbox Scorpio.
Yeah, so they would show it. Well, they would show it off on the regular Xbox One, and it wasn't running well.
Yeah.
And apparently there are rumors about it not working well on the Scorpio either. And the developers are like, it's not going to work. Like, we have to get rid of some of these things. And Xbox is like, well, you have to make it work. You got
it.
And it was like, but that's not how it works. And that's why Hideki Kamiya kind of got mad on Twitter.
Yeah. And
these Microsoft fucks, is what he said.
And they were like, okay, if we develop this for another 6 months, we're going to lose a ton of money.
Mm.
If we stop it now, we're going to lose a ton of money. And if we let it go until completion and then it goes gold and we put it out, we're going to lose a lot of money. Yeah. So let's just go ahead and lose a lot of money now.
They also canceled Phantom Dust, right?
I have no clue. I won't lie.
I know a lot of people wanted the, or I guess like a little niche wanted that game. I don't know what it is.
But. So I think one of the larger issues with the Xbox One was that in a lot of aspects, let's say you take out maybe Uncharted, but even then Uncharted 4 is a huge success. But I think when the PS3 went to the PS4, they were like, guess what? This third game of this trilogy is now on the PS4, right? Mm-hmm. And so you were like, I want to go to that because I want to follow that story. Whereas with the Xbox One, it seemed like games like Gears of War were already done on the 360. And then they were like, let's bring it back for the Xbox One. And people were like, especially after kind of being burned by Judgment and stuff like that, they didn't really have that any longer. So I think Sony, I just feel like they have the best strategy currently.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm not a PlayStation shill. Please send me free stuff. But I'll take anything you have, even if it's something you don't like. I'll take some misspelled coasters if you have them. I loved the 360 more than I liked the PS3, at least for a certain period of time, you know, for what that offered me. So I've gone back and forth. And I love the GameCube. That was my favorite of the three at the time. So it's been jumping and jumping, but... I don't know. Nintendo, bring it back. I would love for, obviously it's not going to happen with Call of Duty. It's probably not going to happen with something like Assassin's Creed, like these year after year mm-hmm. games, you know? But imagine seeing a trailer for a game, like let's say Middle Earth Shadow of War, right? And it says PS4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. Can you, I'd love to get back to those days. You know what I mean?
I don't really care for that. You know what I mean? Because when I look at Nintendo, I'm just like, well, I want the games that PS4 and I guess Xbox are too scared to publish.
Yes, but
that's essentially what I want to see from Nintendo, because that's what they usually do.
Yeah, and there are
not anymore with PS4 though, because they publish a lot of indie games.
Yes,
now,
they do. But I think it just all again comes down to money.
Yeah,
you know,
of course.
there are a million other people like you, but guess what? Out of that million, maybe a quarter of them are going to buy that game, and a quarter of that quarter is maybe going to buy it at full price. Mm-hmm. So then you're looking at, oh, this was not cost prohibitive.
Right.
So it didn't really make sense. But I guess what I'm getting at is I want developers to see a point to develop on all three consoles. I want them to say, it's going to make sense for us to do this, and it's going to be good for different reasons. Or even if, I don't know, I would like it.
Am I going to buy the Switch, though? Eventually.
Yeah. Probably same here.
Yeah.
Damn it. Because it's going to offer an experience. That's the
right,
thing.
Right, no. That's,
it's going to have an experience. It's going to have a couple of games that make it worth it.
Like, even now, I feel like I'm missing out on something. Not something too big, but on something. At least the experience or the taste of the cartridge. Something. Just,
yeah. We can buy it. Let's buy a game. And then
or why don't we just lick antifreeze?
Agreed.
All right. I was going to shake your hand, but I'm like, how do you make the sound of shaking hands?
Okay. So anything else in this very disjointed episode?
Was that the second question?
Second question was why, yeah.
Okay.
I says, are you still getting a Switch? A Switch. I am buying a Nintendo Switch.
So now I can, if we ever get big enough, I want a shirt that just says the Nintendo Switch.
No, but we said Nintendo.
The Nintendo Switch.
The Nintendo Switch. Yeah, we're never gonna be big enough.
I was still on a shirt that says Nintendo Switch.
I'll work on that for us. Okay, so I think that's the end of this episode. We really needed Justin.
Yeah,
and by that I mean, unfortunately, guys, we don't have a Switch and we don't have Zelda. And those are the biggest things. But guess what? You can get that anywhere. You know, you can't get two guys yelling at each other about the Switch. Yeah. So that's why you come here for it. And you know what, Jose? I still love you, man.
I still love you too.
No, you don't. I'll fucking kill you. So, all right. That's been episode 3 of The Rat King, baby. I thought you were going to join in. But
no, I wasn't.
Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Rat King Podcast. Send questions, comments, concerns, corrections, and suggestions to ratkingpodcast@gmail.com. And please rate and review us on iTunes and now Google Play as well. We're everywhere, guys. Review us. Don't be shitheads. Say something nice and we'll give you a shout out on the air. Say something mean and we'll still give you a shout out on the air as long as you give us 5 stars.
Just comment or
say,
something.
Give us 5 stars and say anything you want. It could be a birthday wish to someone. I don't really care. Don't say anything dumb or racist. How about that?
I feel like that'd be censored.
Or, you know what? Here's the thing. If you want to say something dumb and racist, give us 5 stars. That's totally fine. I just won't read it. Tell everyone to give us 5 stars. Whatever. And with that, I've been Scott Petty.
I've been Jose Murguia.
We'll see you next week.
Bye.
He there on the touch him out. He there on the touch him out.